Let's turn in the Word of God to Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 13 through 20. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 13 through 20. And before we hear God's Word read and preach, let's pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for, again, speaking to us, revealing yourself to us, teaching us your ways. And Father, we pray that we would flee the life of under the sun, and that we would focus our lives above the sun. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upon your word and in your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 13, these are the words of God. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Those are God's words. We learn, as we have vanity of vanities, all is vanity under the sun, seeking after knowledge or wisdom or pleasure, or toiling in labor, wealth or power, or being oppressed, or working diligently to be envied, or hoarding abundance, or being alone, or even given a high status. The bringing of vanities into the worship of God, or even seeking after to be satisfied by riches. All of it lived for here is worthless and a waste. It's futile. It is vanity of vanities under the sun. And this evening we're continuing where we left off last Lord's Day, considering the vanity of riches. The seeking after riches and abundance under the sun, with no sight of Christ, no thought of the gospel, the church helping to help and serve those in need. It's apart from all those things. It's vanity. It's vanity, and it leads to one's hurt. Verse 13. It says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Similar to Proverbs 1, verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Riches are those who pursue, for those who pursue them under the sun, only prove to their hurt. It only goes to their hurt, proving to be occasions of sin, to fuel lust and cause pride and vanity and oppression and violence. It moves to gambling or gluttony and idleness and excess. There's the sin against one's own soul. You consider the Scriptures. Habakkuk 2, verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his own house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. Because he coveted, he wants abundance and riches, and that goes to cutting off many people, and sinning against his own soul. There's the sin of forgetting God, Deuteronomy 6. The Lord promising to bring them into the promised land, to give them many things by cutting, or by which they didn't build. And he says, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. He's given, the Lord's promising, I'll give you all these things. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. 1 Timothy 6, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's language from this passage as well. Many sorrows. James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that is the Lord of hosts. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's James 5. Riches, beloved, lived with and for under the sun will tempt you and tempt you to sin, and the scriptures show they will lead to your hurt. And this is why you're given the example. We're given the example of the rich young ruler, Matthew 19. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter in the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. And here even to his own soul, unto eternal damnation. Verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Riches perish with much affliction through luxury or imprudence, by fraud or violence of others. Businesses come to ruin. And you wonder how? By the providence of God. Or even very clearly by the curse of God. The judgment of God. Proverbs 23 says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So as verse 14 says, the man who labors after riches and labors after riches will after much toil to be rich, to gain abundance, after great care and anxiety to preserve them, and after every possible degree of forethought and tenderness towards one's children to then provide for them, to give them that inheritance. What does the Lord say? Who is truth? And so you can't question this. What does he say? He says, he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. There are many possibilities of the meaning of that verse, many applications. You see, you could raise your child to take over all that you've earned and gained in riches, but you've so poured yourself forth into your riches and your work that he has no clue, one, how to handle such riches. And to him it is nothing and will be as nothing. Or the child cares not about them and he just spends it all away. Or even that you have worked so diligently and labored and toiled for riches, you have left nothing in the hand of your child. He's dead in his soul because you've focused all your attention on your work and your riches. He's dead. He has nothing. You sacrifice all to be able to give to your children, and you left them truly nothing but that which moth and rust destroy. They have literally, though they might have riches, they are left with nothing. Is that what you want your life to be and your children's lives to be? The great sin today are people who, as they used to say, they want to keep up with the Joneses. You covet and want what everyone else has. And so you go into debt trying to have what everyone else has. And yet when you die, though it looks like you're quite wealthy, you have lots of things, all those things left to your children, your child is little to nothing after the debt is all paid off. And so what you've done is only labor for the wind. Hosea 8 says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up." And then verse 15. As he came forth, that's speaking of the son, who is left with nothing, verse 14. "As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand." This is what we made mention of before, under the sun. You can come up with the greatest amount of riches the world has ever seen. You can work and work and work for them, and yet, what happens? You will die. You know how sometimes people will put things in the coffin of loved ones after they die? And some people have been known to put money or jewelry or whatever manner of things that to them, they believe, have value under the sun, on the earth. And guess what? As those dead, lifeless bodies lay in the coffin and is put in the grave, as those bodies decay and they rot, the riches remain there, buried there in the ground, they too will rot. They'll come to nothing. And where you go when you die in your soul, where you go when you die in your soul, you cannot take such things. Nothing earthly you can take with you, nothing physical you can take with you, because it's your soul. Your body rests in the grave. Your soul goes one of two places. And you can take nothing with you because it's physical. It's earthly and remains on the earth. You put it this way, if it doesn't have power to free us from death, to comfort us in our last moments of life on earth, or to accompany us into another world, then it is no foundation of happiness. It's no foundation of comfort in this life. Job 1, verse 21. After Job's things were destroyed, his children died. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You came into the world naked. That's how you will leave this world. You came in with nothing. You'll leave with nothing, but as an eternal soul. That's it. Psalm 49, "For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." Again, 1 Timothy, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Therefore, we are called to be content." We're called to be content with what we have and what we've been given, but be content in Jesus Christ above the sun. Look above the sun to Him instead of continually looking to this world for satisfaction. Naked you came into this world, but it is a sad situation if your soul returns as it came in. If your soul, which was born in sin, and you return when you're done and your soul is still in sin. If you die in that state in sin, uncleansed, unsanctified, not justified, not a child of God, no faith, but rather a hardened heart, like Solomon has said before, it would have been better if he would never have been born. That's the description of the one who pursues riches in this life under the sun. They'll return as they came, taking nothing with them. If that is you, if you're still in your sins, you have not left the world yet, but you will if you stay in that state. And you love your riches, you love the things of the earth, you will stay in that same state of sin and misery. And you'll come under the condemnation of the Lord forever. And He's calling us here, come now, to stop looking at your riches of the world. Be Don't be discontent with the things that you have, but look above to the Son, Jesus Christ, who alone can save your soul. That you take with you. Otherwise, the determination upon you will be what we read in verse 16, which says, "And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" You've heard of chasing for the wind. Here's laboring for the wind. If you came in naked, you'll leave naked. If you came in as a sinner, you will have not turned to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. You'll leave the same way you came as a sinner, destined for hell and eternal fire. That is a sore evil. Notice it says that in all points as he came, so shall he go. In all points. In all points. If you live your life under the sun, that's true of you. Oftentimes we realize the riches you attain in this life may not perish in your lifetime. But one thing is true, riches cannot preserve you from death. The Lord has numbered your days. Nothing, no one can increase or decrease the days you have left. Riches cannot and will not comfort you on your deathbed, if you have a deathbed. And then when you come to the judgment seat in which we've already covered, that you will have nothing with you but yourself, your soul. Riches will be of no profit in the day of judgment and in the day of wrath. And so we're asked, "And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" You've labored and labored and labored, stored up riches. And what have you gained? Nothing, because you've labored after the wind. You failed to reach it. You failed to get anything. Riches do not stay. Riches are not retained, but they are emptiness and vanity. They are futile. You think of the verse in Hosea, "Seeking and living for riches is the wind." We just read it a few moments ago. "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." Somebody else will have it. It's not even yours. And so you store up riches and riches upon the earth. You die, you're not able to take it with you. Somebody else takes it away. What did you gain? You have nothing. You're dead. Meditate upon the word from 1 Corinthians 7. It says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." That's your end, if it's riches now. Verse 17, it says, "All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness." Here's still further vanity of riches. The one who pursues riches under the sun, that vanity, that covetous worldly life, believe this, that one denies himself the full, free, and comfortable enjoyment of outward comforts. For he cannot even take his mind and heart off of his anxious cares of the world. When he sits down for dinner, he's in darkness. Rather, as he gains riches upon riches, he enjoys his wealth in darkness. What does that mean? He enjoys riches under the sun with what? Much sorrow. With wrath, with sickness, it says. Such a person, maybe this is you, such a person idolizes work and thus lengthens their days out, enlarges their labor, and never spares himself any time for necessary refreshment, for necessary rest. This person cannot eat their food with any pleasure, but they're always worrying, always concerned. Is somebody going to take my riches? How do I keep having my riches at this point or greater without losing anything? Always troubled in their mind. What's next? What must happen? There's great anxieties. Micah 7 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." That's above the sun thinking. But not so the one who exalts in riches. When he falls, he's undone and he dies forever. He's always in darkness. There's no light because Christ is not looked unto. There's no light in him there, because Christ is not in him. Christ is not the foundation. He's a slave to his riches. Is that you? When things don't go according to your plan, you become a storm. You grieve, you fret, you are so angry, you're confused that you get sick, maybe. Meditate. If this is you, meditate with the theologian who said this. I have wasted all the golden opportunities that can never be recalled, or of gaining grace, of winning heaven. Wasted them in the most senseless of all objects, heaping up treasure for no other end than the splendor of my own name. Horror taketh hold of me in the thought of the last passage. Even when cold in death, his hand remaining clenched in the last convulsive grasp with which he sought to retain his darling treasure. Wrath from above, terror from within, a dark eternity of unspeakable torment, one everlasting night. He shall never see light. Is that, will that be you? If it is dark and terrible, your future, your eternity, unless today, this evening, you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you put off all that you hold dear, and you put all of your treasure, all of that off, and come and follow after Christ, who must be your treasure. Treasure Him. He alone is the light. He alone satisfies. He alone can save your soul and your body from an eternity of torment and wrath. He alone can bless you and make you truly happy if you turn to Christ, if you turn to the Savior and believe on Him. And Christian Solomon provides a remedy from turning from under the sun, living to above the sun in Christ. That's the rest of the passage. Verse 18. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. A Christian, what is the right use of riches? Of things, abundance, which is above the sun focused use of riches. What is that? Above the sun focused on focus on riches or use of riches. That you wouldn't be anxious of what you have. Here he's calling us to enjoy all the blessings of the Lord's providence. 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Not caring about the riches, not caring about how am I going to pay for this or that, but upon Him. Solomon speaks from his own experience. Behold, that which I have seen, he says. And by that experience, under the inspiration of the Lord, he determines it is good and fitting. Here it is. Beloved, respect that which is good. Don't idolize it. Don't idolize those things that are good, but respect them, for they are from God. And thereby enjoy the fruit of your labors. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Enjoy the work that you have. Enjoy what you work for. Why? Because God gives it to you. He gives you the work and He gives you what comes from the work. The fruit of the labor. It is your portion while you're on this earth. Enjoy it. When the Lord grants to us life, we should not deny the comforts of this life that He provides also. And the good of this life that He provides also. This is your portion that God has given to you. Use it. Enjoy it. Be satisfied in the Lord who has provided it for you. It is your portion, it's your inheritance. It's part of your inheritance, beloved. You won't have this part of the inheritance forever. Can't take it with you. Use it. Use it for His glory. Use it for the spread of the gospel. Use it for the church and the spread of the church. And church planting, things like that. It's your portion. This is what He grants you in this life, a portion. In eternity, the Lord will provide an eternal portion, a grand portion, of which the greatest part is what Peter says, that it's Himself. Our inheritance is God Himself. But here in this life, under the sun, He grants us, grants to you a portion that is temporal, temporary. Enjoy it in Christ. Proverbs 3. What does the Lord promise? He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So honor the Lord with your substance, what He provides to you. Honor Him with it and He's going to bless you with more. 1 Timothy 5, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's a warning. You can store up all these riches under the sun and focus on the riches and you're not taking care of your family. Not taking care of their physical being, not taking care of their soul. We're called to provide for our own family. Galatians 6, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so God has given these riches to us, these abundance to us. How do we do that? How do we use that? We use it to help others who are in need, especially those in the church who are in need. Remember 1 Corinthians 3, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. In verse 19 it says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. This saying what we've already heard again. First we see God gives us any and all wealth. That we have any good and perfect gift, it's from God, from above. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. We have then dominion over that wealth that He's given to us. He's given the gift, He's given us wealth, He's given us all that we have, we have dominion over that. He's given us dominion over that to use in accordance with what? In accordance with Scripture. To be godly stewards. He shows us throughout the Scriptures how to be godly stewards. Some of those verses we just heard. To enjoy it ourselves. To provide for our family. To help those in need. To give to the continuance of the gospel ministry in the church of Jesus Christ. Not only here, but to all nations. You have dominion over what the Lord provides. Use it for good. Use it for His glory. Use it in proportion to the condition you find yourself in. Every family is different. Use it in the proportion to the condition you find yourself in to be a godly and good steward. And use it with cheerfulness and joy in the Lord who provided it. That's above the sun living. 1 Timothy 6 again. Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Laying up in store, that sounds like you're laying up your abundance and riches on the earth. No, that's laying up in your soul. That which is eternal. A good foundation against the time to come. You know, there is a time when you will die. Lay up a foundation that's good for past that time. Unto eternity, that they may lay hold of eternal life. And then in your joy in what the Lord has provided, don't allow that joy to cancel out the duty to labor that you still have. Don't go also to excess. Rather, in your labor, sweeten it with joy in which you know through such means the Lord provides. And so Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Don't take from the government and take from the government, you know, the welfare. Take and use that to then go work. So that then when one day you can give to him that needs. Verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. That is, though you might not have great riches, what you do have is from the Lord. Whatever you have, that is from the Lord. And all those times of struggle and suffering and heartache and the pains of the past will be of no great thought. Those days that you toiled and labored, days of weeping and struggle when you didn't know how to pay this bill or that bill, the waters of joy and the Lord's provision will wash away all those tears. Because if you're in Christ, the Lord will flood your heart with joy as you consider that you deserve nothing in the first place. Nothing but His wrath and hot displeasure forever and ever. And you do not have that, but He provides for you. He provided Christ for you. He provides the Holy Spirit for you. He provides Himself for you, and He provides all your cares for you. He cares for you, and He comforts you, and He will at the last call you home, not with the things of the world. You can't take those with you. The riches to take with you, not those things, not the earthly things, but He will call you home and give you an infinite and eternal inheritance that no one can even comprehend. Not on this earth. And so God's people, riches and striving after riches is a life of darkness filled with sorrow, wrath, and sickness, it says. And we read the many scriptures that talked about the sorrow and the hurt it brings. Well, we are to turn from the vanities of this world to above the sun to Christ, receive the gift of joy and that provision allotted for you, knowing always and forever that He will provide for your every step. And with all that He provides, enjoy Him and the use of those things on this earth. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that You are the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down from You, the Father of lights, in which You do not change. You're immutable. And You're always providing for Your people, whether little or much. And so, Father, we ask that You would in our hearts, not to make us covetous wretches, not to allow us to stay in that kind of state, but to turn us in our hearts to a humble love for You, to use what we have with joy that You've provided, to not worry or be anxious about the cares of the world, but to always trust You to provide each step. And for each of us here, we can look back. Some of us can even look back and look how close we were to not being able to do this or that or pay the bill that we had to pay. And yet, Father, You always provided at the right time. We're still here. You've always provided food. We're still here to eat and partake and enjoy. You've always provided a home for us. We have, even all of us here, roofs over our heads, beds to sleep in. And so, Father, all the abundance that You give, even through the labor that we work and toil and labor, Father, we ask that You would help us by Your Holy Spirit to think and live above the sun, to use for our enjoyment, to provide for our families, those in need in the church, to the church, that the gospel would go forth, and the many other means by which we could be godly stewards in this life. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.